this story is truly, yeah, it's really good.
Sorry, there's a bowling alley upstairs.
Oh, wait, actually?
No.
If you're listening, Lisa, if you're listening. Okay, I was in a boot. Check me out now if you're watching. I'm in sometimes.
Just don't cut people's ears off.
Yeah.
I'm on a podcast. Yeah. What's up, y'all?
Oh, this is a follow-up. A little epilogue for anyone. Okay.
So, hi.
Hello. Welcome back to the Pass the Salt podcast.
Pass the Salt.
Hey.
We have someone really special with us today. What's your name?
I'm Cody Mitchell Sherry. I was the speaker at Sateo this year. Brought my youth group. Longtime Salt and Light fan. Used to work for Salt and Light for a time, so sitting down in this office is a trip down memory lane. Aww. Everything looks exactly the same, so.
Is it cleaner down here?
No, that's part of, like, it looking the same is, like,
it's
about as messy as it was when I was here.
Okay.
But it's okay. We could sit on the couch, so yes, cleaner.
Okay,
because the couch was taken up by
this
stuff.
This is a youth ministry, so it's supposed
exactly.
to be
exactly. Don't come into my office hoping it's clean.
I don't.
Good.
Clean. Or come in your office.
True.
As Cody said, he was our speaker, mm-hmm. and he did an amazing job. On one leg, he spoke.
Yeah, I was in a boot. Check me out now if you're watching. I'm in a cast, not a boot. Mm. So we are healing.
Do you mind, or unless it's like traumatizing for you, but like, can you just remind us how you hurt your ankle?
Yeah, I was playing dodgeball at youth group.
Yeah.
That's and so now we've had two injuries during dodgeball. In my whole 7 years, only two injuries.
But they
both were adults.
Oh.
Yeah, so no kids have been injured playing dodgeball, but now two adults, old people, have been injured. So I just stepped on it wrong. No.
Oh, I think he did throw his shoulder out, though. He just didn't report it.
Yes. Oh, no, he did throw his shoulder out.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
So that's, like, minor enough, right?
If yeah, he can, yeah.
He can shake
sure.
it off.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But yeah, just like sprained it really bad, then had to get surgery. And so I was not super mobile at Sateo, but it was okay. It all worked out. I got to ride out on a scooter to a lot of fanfare. So.
That is a fun experience.
Dramatic entrance.
Yeah. And it's great that our location had a ramp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great. That was
Thank
great.
Thank you, Junction Center, for thinking about that. It's probably for equipment, but.
No, I mean, nice. Accessibility, baby.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Okay, so today we're going to talk all about your messages
mm-hmm.
that you gave.
I have my notes pulled up because I was like, I don't remember anything really. The event is over and my brain has moved on. But I refreshed myself a little bit. Okay. I remember.
You can return to return.
I can return to what we talked about, yes. Okay.
Well, when we announced that you were our speaker, everyone was really excited, I think.
Mm-hmm. I love Salt and Light. I think... One thing that was great about speaking at Sateo, because I've wanted to for a couple years now, is because I came from Salt and Light and knew what it was like to be inside the drama and kind of wanting to weave the things together, I felt like my role was to really take the drama and scriptural, biblical, theological truths and like weave them together as best as possible.
Yeah.
So that was what was most exciting for me, was to incorporate those things together. Ideally, seamlessly, so we're kind of having one experience as we go throughout the weekend. It was really fun.
If you could just remind us what your messages, you gave four
mm-hmm.
messages. They each had a title, like a theme to them. If you can remind us what those four titles were, and if you want to share a little bit about how you came up with them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was feeling very uninspired for a while. I'm quite a last-minute preparer.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But I had surgery, and so I was like, I'm laid up for so long. This is when I should really be doing my Sateo work. And it was only like 2 weeks prior. So that, to me, that's far in advance. But I was like laying there. I'm like, I have no inspiration. I can't move. I'm not feeling creative. And I was texting with Christy because she and I love to brainstorm together. And I was just like bouncing things back and forth, telling her I can't think of anything. Somehow, I asked her the question. I was like, what's that thing in literature where like there's some sort of arc? And she's like, what? And I was like, you know, like... the climax of the story or whatever. And she goes, the hero's journey. And I was like, oh, sure. So we ended up looking at the hero's journey. And that was this big circle of like, if you think about these epic stories like the Iliad or the Odyssey, or in newer, more modern times, like Lord of the Rings or things like that, where, you know, you have the character like leaves home and then the character meets people and then the character goes through this trial and then you do have the climax and then they return home eventually. And it's very detailed. And we kind of looked at that and was like, I think I want to craft our messages around that because her script really did that. Mm-hmm. They always do because it's a narrative, but it really, because you were going on this adventure with people, you really saw the narrative arc. And so I was inspired by that process. And so we started with, session one was called The Call to Adventure, like when you initially get that call. And I wanted to parallel it with like our relationship with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So her characters are going on this mythical, quote unquote, fictional journey. But what about us and our relationship with Jesus? What does that journey look like? So Call to Adventure was first. Second session was Test, Trials, and Allies. You're like kind of in the middle of it, figuring some things out, meeting people. Who can you trust? Who can you not? Working our way up to section three, which was Confrontation. It's like, I called it like the big bad. Like, this is the final boss. Like, what has gone on in our lives or our relationships with Jesus that like has just been really difficult, and how did we manage it? And then the last one we basically said was the return, or kind of the real world. Like, once you go through the big thing, well, now what? Like, does the cycle just start again? How do we take what we've learned throughout our narrative journey and put it into the real world? And it's cool because the characters were literally, their section four was the real world, right? Like, we're out of this video game, and what do we do now with what we've learned in the real world? So we went on this journey together, this narrative arc. That's pretty sweet. And I got to give Christy credit. I mean, she wrote the whole script, obviously, but then she like basically frameworked my messages too. Because as soon as I talked to her, I was like, wait, now I'm inspired. This is really cool. And I would not have been able to figure that out without you. So props to Christy.
She's inspiring.
She is, truly.
And she knows her stuff, so it's just helpful. I'm like, you've written like 700 books and plays and all skits, so like, you know the arc. Like, you get it.
Well, and as he was talking, I assume about your character, like, because Violet is the one you might first think of as who goes on a hero's journey. I mean, they all do, but your character has, like,
the villain's journey. I mean, honestly, she's got an arc of her own.
She's got a call to adventure. And then she decides to do something different.
Takes her story in her own hands.
She has a conflict. She has test, trials, and enemies, not allies. And she does return.
She does, That was an interesting, like, with SK, like, at least with going into the real world, like Sky, I always found myself at a weird space, because right when it's like everything comes to a head and like the last scene before the real world happens, when like there's that, and like they're quoting the song and talking about, you know, the different things that they've done in order to like complete their quest and the game, and like that's like, I mean, that's like peak Spite, so like she's still there. And then going into the real world, I was like, but this is just a scared little kid, you know? So, like, that was something that I really had to kind of process through and think about a lot, was going from this, like, villain character to just this kid who was lonely and hurt and needed people to be there for her. And so I think that was something that was really impactful. And I, as I was talking through it, processing through it with people, they were like, yeah, I mean, that's a typical trauma response for kids who have gone through really difficult things and have like pushed people away and tried to do things on their own, then when they're at that certain point, they don't know how to get back to, you know, like normal level of, you know, like allowing people to actually come in when they need them. And so I was like, wow, that's crazy. And that's one of the reasons I love acting, is it can help us form empathy for people that we don't really have the same story. But going through that, I'm like, oh wow, like I can kind of understand a little bit more of why it would be difficult for people who have gone through really traumatic situations. So I'm like, wow. And so I think, I don't know if Christy meant to do that, but like some of the people I talked about it with, they were like, yeah, that's actually pretty typical. And I'm like, wow. So it's definitely a very interesting arc, for sure. But I learned a lot, so yeah.
Well, I think what's cool about the whole weekend was that students could, there was so many, hopefully, they found themselves relating to something that happened on stage.
Absolutely.
Whether it was one of the characters or something that you talked about with all the messages you gave about Cephas.
Cephas! We love Cephas.
Peter. And, I mean, Cephas has his own story arc in the Gospels that is pretty epic, too.
Yeah.
But true. And so the return stories are not based on true stories, unfortunately. So I guess I'd be curious to hear from you, like, you had the script return, and we even helped choreograph some pieces. Wait, did you?
I did, loosely. I did one of the pieces that's barely dance. And then the other piece, I was really excited to do the Olivia Rodrigo song.
Logical.
And I, like, framed it, but then I handed it off to my good friend, Haley Martin, because I was still laid up. And she crushed it. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. So,
that was really awesome.
Yeah, not as much as I normally get to do.
Okay, but
little
real
bits.
Quick, Cassidy gave you a shout out in two episodes ago about something that you came up with in your choreography. About, is it like the hand and like the heart? Like,
oh, and then coming together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the very last moment on Light on the Mountain. Mm-hmm. Just like she does a thing where she kind of goes to her head, like a remembrance of Jesus. And then she goes kind of to her pain. She looks over her shoulder, kind of her pain, and then brings those two things together. And I was like, I just want that moment, even if it's just for you and nobody notices, it's like the whole theme is that we can hold both of those things together, that God can hold both of those things, our pain and his relationship and love for us, like, can coexist. So it was a sweet moment.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So that's like just 1 2-second thing that you pulled out of the whole script and the choreography. But as the speaker this year, how did you land on the topic of, like, Peter being the main thesis of the weekend? Like, Return was, like, 60 pages of a lot of material.
Yeah.
So there's so many avenues you could have gone as a speaker. What made you land on Peter's life?
Yeah, so as we kind of realized the hero's journey thing, I could easily put that to Violet and be like, I see in Christy's script where this hero's journey is happening. And I was like, well, how does that help where we're headed in, like, theologically? And I was like, oh, okay, I think that relates to our journey with Jesus. But I was like, I don't want it to just be we're talking about ourselves the whole time or we're talking about Violet the whole time. I was like, there's a third piece that's missing here. And I was like, probably scripture. Not that I wouldn't have used scripture, but it's like, I love looking at stories. I feel like scripture as a whole is a story. It's a story of Jesus. Even the Old Testament is a story of Jesus. And so when you look at everything as a story, it helps you pull out the truths, as opposed to maybe just picking a specific scripture and trying to figure out what the truth inside of it is. So I love looking at stories of characters. And Peter, I think, is one of my most talked about characters anyway. When I, like, talk at youth group, I probably talk about the woman at the well the most. All my students are like, roll their eyes when I start on that one because I've talked about so much. But I think Peter is the most interesting, besides Jesus, the most interesting New Testament character, because he literally is so relatable. He is just like us. And it's so weird to me how 2,000 years later, I can be like, wait, that person genuinely is like a person in 2024. Like, he gets it right sometimes. He gets it wrong a lot of times. He's confused a good bit, but he's excited and eager, and he's trying. Like, he's trying to follow Jesus. And, like, sometimes his foot needs to go in his mouth, and sometimes he, like, needs to repent. But it's like, that's our life. So I relate to that so much more than I relate to, like, the people who appear to have it all together in scripture. And so I'm like, yes, Peter. So as I was thinking about narrative arcs, I was like, he has a lot of material in the Gospels. Like I said at Zateo, like, he talks more than all the other disciples combined. And so I was like, if we're looking at someone's full arc, you almost get more of Peter's story than maybe even Jesus's story. Like, you get a huge arc with him. And so I was like, he's a good framework for us. So trying to go after those three, Violet's arc and Peter, Cephas's arc, and then our arc as well. And once I had that in my mind, I was like, that's cool. Like, if I'm a visual learner, I can grab a hold of that. If I, you know, like, it gives us a good place to return to. Return.
Can you explain for anyone that forgets, or if they weren't at Zateo, why you call them Cephas?
Yeah, so Peter has five names in the New Testament, and there's a reason for all of them, but Jesus calls him Cephas, and in Aramaic, that was, like, rock or stone, and then in Greek, that was, like, Petrus would have been his name, which translates to Peter. So Peter and Cephas really are the same name, just in two different languages, or three, basically, different languages. But the reason I wanted to call him Cephas was because we don't call him Cephas very often. If you say on this podcast without explaining it, like, oh, we talk about Cephas in the Bible, like, a lot of us would be like, who is that? And so I wanted us to see his story with new eyes. And instead of just saying Peter all the time, because I've heard about Peter the disciple, he walks on water, or tries to. And, like, but it's like, Cephas? I don't know Cephas. Like, I don't, what's he about? Like, tell me more about him. So just wanted to see it fresh. And Jesus called him Cephas. So, like, when in doubt, do as Jesus does.
WWJD.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right.
That's what our bracelets should have said.
I got the bracelet on.
Follow the light.
Follow the light. WWJD.
Yeah. What would Cephas do? Don't do it, Cephas.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Just don't cut people's ears off.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
Or be like, I don't know who Jesus is.
Right.
Yeah, the whole denying Jesus thing. Yeah. But that's the thing, he's so real. Like, at least, you know, he messed up so bad, and Jesus still reinstates him when he comes back after he dies. Like, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Like, the reinstating of Peter is so beautiful for many reasons. So.
And the fact that he's like, I'm going to build a church on you. Yeah. Like, you're going to start it. And it doesn't matter all the crap that you just did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The redemptiveness of his story is truly, it's really good.
Sorry, there's a bowling alley upstairs.
Oh, wait, actually?
No. They just love cars. Card everything.
Oh, wait, should we go up there instead? What are we doing down here?
We're going to bowl.
Talking about Cephas.
So, was there anything like, whether in your prep or even in the moment, like speaking as it's happening at Zateo, was there anything that like surprised you that you discovered or said or the Holy Spirit like revealed to you?
Yeah, so Christina and I love the Holy Spirit. Love talking about the Holy Spirit.
Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Come on in. So because I am a procrastinator by nature, a lot of times I'll have like some things prepped, but I like to leave open room for the Holy Spirit to move. I think better on my feet, and a lot of that is not just because I think better on my feet, but I genuinely believe if I'm praying into it like hard enough that the Holy Spirit will speak things through any of us. And so that's a way that I love to speak and just like, please come. Maybe because I only have 3 bullet points, so like you need to come or else I can't fill the message. But one of the things that really struck me that I didn't have anywhere in my notes, but I really loved, was when we were talking about the story of Cephas attempting to walk on water. So Jesus comes walking on water in the midst of this storm. All the disciples are like, it's a ghost. And he's like, no, it's me. It's Jesus, the one you know. And Cephas, whether because he's trying to test Jesus or he's excited or I don't know, he says, let me come walk to you on the water. Like he wants to get out of the boat and go. He was a go-getter and he talked all the time. And so he's like, let me do it. And so he goes out, takes some steps. And then eventually he looks at the waves and the wind and starts to fall. And right in that moment, like the Holy Spirit gave me this picture. I felt like I was in Cephas's shoes of like, Jesus is right in front of me. He's clearly standing on the water with no problem. And as long as my eyes, if I'm Cephas, as long as my eyes are locked on him, then I'm not sinking and I'm good to go. But scripture literally says that Cephas looks at the wind and the waves, and then that's when he begins to sink. And so this idea of like, where really is our focus? If we stay focused on Jesus and what he's able to provide us, like he will help us remain. Like he will help us stay in the place we need to be. But often we focus on our fears and our failures and the worries of the world and the bad things that are happening to us. And when we look at those for too long, we forget Jesus is staying steady and we start to sink. And I like share that and I was like, woo! I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like that was a really sweet realization even for myself, because it wasn't just me like making up a picture. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, this is the picture that scripture paints. And there really is good truth there. Like, let's stay locked on Jesus and then we'll be okay. And it's not like meant to ignore all of our problems completely. Like we know that he knows the wind and waves are there. There's an acknowledgement that that is going on, but his posture and his gaze needed to remain on Jesus. And that's the same for us, I think, too. Mm-hmm. So that was a surprise for me. And I got off the stage and I was like, woo, yay.
Yeah.
Credit to HS, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, HS. I think it's really cool for people to hear that from you who spoke, or something similar from anyone who speaks publicly and preaching, because it tells us that, like, we were hearing from the Lord. You were the mouthpiece, but, like you said, you had bullet points, but you left open space for, like, God to just show up. And that takes a lot of courage and, like, trust that, like, I'm betting everything on the Lord that he's going to speak and move and talk and show up. And I'm willing to be the vessel in which he does that, if that's what he chooses to do.
Yeah.
And you sharing that, like, can give us all like listener goosebumps that like, oh wow, that was from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I think like my temptation is often to do things on my own power. I think that's probably true for all of us. So I, when it comes to this kind of stuff, the reason my prep was not going well, because I was like, I want to come up with a really good object lesson, or like Keith last year saw animals in half, not real animals, like stuffed animals in half. And that was so memorable. And like, what am I going to do that's memorable? And how are people going to remember what I've said? Like, and it all came back to me. And I was like, okay, I am focused in the wrong place. Like, if I go and talk at Zateo, not a single person remembers who I am, but they remember the content of what Jesus had to share, the Holy Spirit had to share. That is the win. And getting to a place in my own heart where I'm genuinely saying that, not just like trying to force myself there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta remove myself from the equation as much as possible, which is hard. I like attention. I like credit. Like, and I genuinely feel like for Zateo this year, when I stepped away, things came. And Jesus like kept me humble throughout the weekend, like just stay out of the way, like get eyes off of you as much as possible, and then I'm gonna do my work. And that was cool. Like, I feel like, if I'm honest, my temptation is to do it in my own power and then hope that people thought I was good. Like, I can go back there so easily, and Zateo felt like a breath of fresh air for me of just like, yeah, that's what surrender feels like, to actually give it up and just be okay with whatever happens. And if no one remembers it, that's okay too. Like,
no, we remember it.
So yeah, well, anyway. So that's that.
I'm so glad that that's what the experience was for you.
Yeah, it was really refreshing for me.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's almost like the ankle thing was good timing for that.
Yeah. I mean, the whole lesson in this stupid ankle thing has been like, in your weakness, you know, like, I can't do what I normally can do. I can't even be the type of like minister like I usually want to be. I want to go over to everybody. I want to pray. Like, I want to, it's all things that I want to do in my own power a lot of times. It's like, no, you're stationary.
You're on a scooter.
And then whoever comes up to you is whoever comes up to you. And that's what needed to happen. Like, you don't, like, just a release of control is something he's been teaching me. And I'm like, dang it.
Oh my God, why are you teaching me that?
But yeah, Zateo was really sweet in that way.
Would you be able to share, like, as a young person at Zateo, what are some takeaways that you had from Cody's messages?
Sorry, I just saw a line that I wrote down. Pick your starter Pokemon.
We did talk about Pokemon a little bit.
I love moments where it's just, like, very, like, where speakers' personalities shine through. And so, like, throughout this, like, this is my journal from like the summer, and so like throughout the summer, like when I remember, like there were, I got a lot when Micah would speak or when Jerry would speak, like just moments where it's just like God using people's either like comedic qualities to be able to portray messages. And so I love writing down stuff like that, but also, I mean, it holds value too. So it's like literally getting to choose like what your adventure is. It's kind of like how Violet in that one scene is talking about, okay, well, you know, you can do this adventure, or you can do this one, or you could do this one. And, you know, eventually then she chooses all of them. And, but just like the idea that we do get to choose kind of what direction we go in. Now, it's important, I think, to recognize that, again, we want to make sure that direction is where we want, like where we feel God is leading us. But something that I'm constantly learning is that, like, Jesus never called us anywhere except to himself. And so I think that, like, wherever he is where his calling for us is. And so I think, really, like, diving into that idea of, like, our call to adventure is our call to Jesus, and to, like, show other people the love of Christ. What else? Oh, in the second session, talking about, like, the trials that we face sometimes, and like we can get distracted again by the winds and the waves and all of the things that are around us in the midst of our adventure or what God is calling us to, is that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And so, like, talked about how, like, Jesus claps back in Matthew 15, like, are you so dull? Like, you know, get behind me, Satan. The temptation that Jesus even had to, like, not bear the cross. Like, he could have decided, like, you know what? No, I don't want to do this plan, like, Father, I don't want to follow your will. But instead, like, Jesus giving us an example of, no, like, even if it's really uncomfortable, like, sometimes our calling is to uncomfortable places, knowing that Jesus will be our comfort through it. And so I think that was also just really impactful. So I think there's just, like, it was so much good stuff of just, like, yeah, I can see that in my life. I can see that in my life. I can see that in my life. That's something that I need to continue, like, looking into and learning more about. A professor of mine often says, like, doubting is not bad. Doubting can lead to questions. Questions can lead to fervently searching for answers. But we can't just let the doubts or the questions stay doubts or questions. We want to pursue the answers to them. And so I think really just diving into returning, I think, is really, really important in that sense of, you know, returning to God with our questions, returning to God with our doubts, returning to God with our insecurities or the things that we're scared about or the things that we're frustrated about, I think is just, like, kind of encapsulates all of the winds and waves, but not letting those things get in the way of us keeping our eyes on God. So,
yeah. And I feel like genuinely that is the takeaway that I guess I was hoping for. And I said this at Zateo, but I was like, there isn't really a super profound takeaway minus, hey, life is going to be a lot of different things. Yeah. Like, the hero's journey is all over the place. Your life is going to be all over the place. That's part of living a human life. How about we just do it with Jesus? Yeah. Like, how about you just stay with him? And no matter if it's a peak or a valley, something in between, a doubt or a confidence, like, mm-hmm. no matter where it is, then at least you have this anchor that is better than you. It is higher and more than you. And so you're going to be okay, even if you're at the lowest of the valley, even if you're at the most doubting you've ever been. Yeah. If there's a place of you inside that doubt that can still be like, okay, at least I'm going to bring the doubts to Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
Even if I don't believe Jesus is real at the moment. Like, I've been there, like, where it's like, I don't know what I think about God, but I'm going to bring that to God. Like, and that seems dumb or backwards or strange, but it's like, if you can find a place to anchor yourself into him, then it's going to be okay. Like, your life might not just go back to being easy, or you might, like, physically it might not feel as okay as you want it to be, but spiritually, foundationally, it will be. So I remember talking to Christy and just being like, I don't know that there's one takeaway inside of return. Like, as I look, sometimes years have themes that are really obvious to me, and I was like, this one just feels like return means, like, stay connected to the light. Like, stay connected to him. And if you don't, if you lose your way, if you leave him, like, just come on back. Like, there's always the chance to. And you see that in Cephas's story. I mean, he literally says, no, I don't know Jesus, three times. Like, I think Cephas was kind of like maybe on the road to being done. Right? Like, just being like, I can't deal with this. Like, Jesus is going to the cross. I don't know what to do. I'm on the road to just saying no completely. And then Jesus dies, and, like, what does he do with that, right? Like, that stinks. That situation is so hard, but he does come back. He eventually returns, and when he does, Jesus is like, do you love me? Yeah. Do you love me? Yeah. Do you love me? Yeah. It's like, that's his posture to us. His posture to us is the father of the prodigal son. Like, that story is so beautiful and important because it shows us what God is like. And Jesus himself explaining to us, God is in the posture of, like, running down the road to accept us when we do return. There's nothing more beautiful than that. You know, and sometimes we want this, like, harsh, scary God, and, like, God does have righteous anger. God does have, I mean, there are, like, moments where we're supposed to be fearful and, like, this reverence, awe of God, but he also has the posture of running down the road towards you and completely making a fool of himself to welcome back his son. Like, how can you not choose to return then if that's what you're going to be received with? And so the gist is just like, hey, return. Hey, stay with God. It's gonna be worth your time, I promise.
The takeaway is return.
Be a Christian, maybe, I don't know, like, just keep trying, like, have a relationship with Jesus. You can do it. Is the main takeaway.
I mean, Peter returned a lot.
Yes.
That's what he just kept doing. There was something you said that was for me, I was like, yes, Cody somehow captured that feeling and put it into words, and now I'm going to paraphrase it, but you talked about some of the hard stuff you went through, like with depression and some like darker seasons, and I hope I'm not wrong in remembering this.
Just go for
it. Pretty sure that you were like, even in like the lowest of lows, like, I still want to do this with Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something, it's hard to put into words because like, when you're at the lowest of lows, the biggest feeling was hopelessness. Sure. And when you get to hopelessness, things get scary because you can't see any future that could get better. Yeah. So your present isn't good and you can't imagine a future that's good. So I remember like one moment genuinely like laying on my futon mattress, like down in my living room floor. And I was just like, this is the lowest I've ever been. I just don't want to be here. Mm. And there was still something like I could almost like pinpoint it in the most inner spot of my chest that was like, okay, but like there's still something going on there. There's still like, I think I still believe in Jesus. And like, so like I didn't know what to do with that because I'm like, everything else is telling me that I'm at the lowest of lows. There's still something in there. And so I think that's the idea of like, can we get Jesus into the deepest parts of ourselves where he already is? I mean, like at our core, God created us and made us. So at our core is Jesus. And like, well, I'm not Jesus, but at our core is God, right? Like he made us in his image and his Holy Spirit lives within us. So like,
Matryoshka.
He's in there. That's our little Matryoshka. Now shout out McPick Youth Retreat.
And also right? Fum also did a Matryoshka.
Let's go!
Yes,
okay.
They also did one this year.
Salt Light Summer Theme 2024, Matryoshka.
So good.
So yeah, like in my core, he's there. So if we can get him there, then like, the feelings, even if they are deep, true, real feelings of hopelessness, can't get as deep as he can get.
Right.
And I don't want to like sugarcoat that. Like I was still suicidal in those moments. Like I felt really hopeless. And so at that time, I probably couldn't have told you, put words to it. But like, I felt this nagging thing that was like, oh, there's still
that's
something
the Holy
there.
Spirit.
I know, yay! Right? I know.
And I'm still here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my experience at least. I know that not everyone feels that way, but it's like, if we can get Jesus into the deepest parts of us that go beyond feeling, then we're going to be set up well because our feelings change. Even our deepest feelings of hopelessness or hopefulness, like those change and shift. And I'm in a place now that feels differently, you know? And I'm so glad I didn't give up on life. I'm so glad I didn't give up on him, like, because now I'm in a different season and those seasons can come. So stick with him. Stick with him.
And you probably already, I mean, this is what you've all been saying. Everything you've been saying is this, but were there any takeaways that you got from any of the four messages when you walked away from Zateo?
Yeah, I think the main thing that stuck with me, and I pretty much already said this, but was like, Cody, get out of the way. Like, get out of the way and see what happens and like actually rely on him to sustain you. The weekend was really tiring. I also brought my group there. We were driving back and forth 45 minutes back to where.
Did you guys sleep at your church?
Yeah, slept at the church. Stayed up till like 2 or 3 a.m. playing games in the church. Like, amazing, wonderful stuff. But like that on top of speaking, like, it was a lot. And I was sick the whole week before, having weird symptoms. My ankle was happening. And I was like, I mean, those are all like, woe is me, right? But woe was me. Like, I was in woe. Like, it was not going well. Life was hard. Yeah. And like, and I just remember feeling so sustained throughout the whole weekend. And like, pains in my stomach that I had leading up to the weekend completely went away. Oh, this is a follow-up. A little epilogue for anyone. Okay, so this is real quick. So I was having these really crazy stomach pains that like stayed in one spot. They felt like gas pains, but they didn't leave. And they were there for the whole week leading up. And it was really bizarre. And I was like, I'm going to get a lot of people praying because I usually don't ask people for that. Mm-hmm. But I know that the power of prayer. So I was like, let me put my prayer partners on it. Like Salt and Light team, I reached out. All these people. I'm like, pray for me. Pray for my stomach specifically. Like, I don't want that there. I can't focus. I had vertigo.
Oh my God.
It was like, what is happening? And am I an elderly lady? Like getting vertigo and stomach pains. Yeah. So then I said this at Zateo, but, like, I didn't feel any of those stomach pains the entire time. Like, I didn't feel distracted at all. I was, like, felt like it could come back, but I was, like, no, it's at bay. Like, we're okay. We're good. I was, like, dude, the Lord's sustaining me. This is so great. Then I got back. All the students got picked up at the church on Sunday, and I got in the elevator to, like, bring stuff back up to our youth center, and my stomach started hurting again. And I was, like, whoa. I was like, this is cool and bad. Bad because it means something's wrong with me. Cool because I'm like, I feel like genuinely the prayer sustained me through the weekend and then not any longer.
Yeah.
It was like, well, now you can have stomach pain because you don't need to be on your game anymore. Like, and I was like, whoa, God. Like, I don't see him. I said this at Zateo too. Like, I haven't seen miracles the way that some people have, like, seen physical healings and stuff. And I'm like, that to me was the power of prayer and God deciding, like, I am going to answer this prayer in this moment. And for some reason, let's not get into it theologically, like, the stomach stuff came back afterwards. And I was like, dang it, and cool.
Maybe the stomach stuff was always there and the Lord just, like, numbed you.
Yeah, literally. Weekend. Like, just, like, kind of was like, this isn't going to be a distraction. Him. Like, we need, he needs to be able to operate. Like, so we're going to give it to him this weekend. Pretty cool.
That's very cool.
That is
awesome. And even if he didn't, you still would have been able to speak, maybe, hopefully.
Oh, we would have tried.
The sounds cool.
We would have tried.
Some Pepto.
Yep. Chugging Pepto with my boot. Like, I'm trying to make it not about me, and yet I'm, like, riding out on a scooter chugging Pepto. That maybe would be a little bit distracting.
Nah,
so.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cody, for being our Zateo speaker 2024.
I had a blast. Zateo was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. I got to meet so many grandmoms. There was a lot of grandmoms at Zateo this year.
For real?
Yeah. They, like, a lot. If you're listening, Lisa, if you're listening. Okay, like, the grandmas came out of the woodwork to come talk to me, and that's my favorite demographic of human.
Wait, I don't think there were any grandmas.
No, there were. What if they're angels? They might have been angels. But Lisa, the physical therapist, I don't know what group she's with. There was another one that came up to me. Like, they were like, we're grandmas, but we, like, and we don't normally come to youth stuff, but we want to talk to you. So, anyway.
Wow. That's a gift from the Lord.
It was.
I'm gonna numb his stomach and I'm gonna send him grandmas.
Yeah. Now, like, they're young grandmas. Like, if they were young grandmas, but they told me we're grandmas.
They,
like,
we have grandkids.
And I was like, oh, thank you for coming up to me. You're so sweet. So, and for everyone else, I'm wearing a bracelet that someone gave me that says Cody, and gave me, like, they gave me pink, purple, and blue beads to try to distinguish between them because of color blindness.
Oh.
It was really good. So they're, like, helping me train my brain.
They're not gonna fix that, you know.
Oh, you did say, I did also write this part down about, like, the ways we are deficient, because that's how you, like, you talked about deficiencies and, like, talked about being, like, colorblind.
Yeah.
And how sometimes we can train ourselves out of those deficiencies by training ourselves to see where God is.
Yeah.
Because he will sustain us and make those deficiencies, like, we won't get rid of them, but he'll fulfill us enough.
Right.
Keep that going.
So often,
in our weakness, he's...
Yeah, we love to just say, like, I can't because, like, I don't connect with God through reading scripture, or I'm not good at praying, or I'm distracted, or I'm... And, like, all those are true. We're all different, so some things are going to be easier to others. But, like, if we stay there instead of saying, like, I might be deficient in this area, but I'm going to try to work this muscle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to try to see if I can improve. And even though biologically it makes no sense, I can see purple better than I could 2 years ago. It's just true. I literally can. So, like, I'm trying to see it. And so, like, if we try to see where God is moving, you might just see him.
Mm-hmm. Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful.
Careful what you pray for.
Yeah, seriously.
My parents always say about patience. They're like, be careful praying for patience. Because God's going to give you, he might not give you patience. He'll give you a lot of opportunities to be exactly. It's just like, wording is very important. Although God's going to do what he's going to do. Because, you know.
We're in charge.
You know.
I'm kidding.
Cut that part out.
You guys, bye.
Adios. Thanks for joining us.